Women's Shir Sunday night. We're starting Perek Yud, it's Hashem. And it describes the breakdown of the body and how it starts breaking apart, atrophying with age. One of the points in Perek Tes was that everything in the body is there for a purpose to serve Hashem. And so a corollary of that was that the forces in the body are not just the physical, biological forces of the digesting food and ingesting food, and really we'll learn in Shaar HaBechina the miracles that take place when the body breaks down the foods we eat into minerals and vitamins and then just distributes it to the different parts of the body, and every part of the body gets what it needs. And like, where does this take place? This chemical decomposition, and then the blood carries it. It's amazing. We're going to learn Mr. Shem Shara Bechina, but we're talking about also emotional kochos, because he talked about the different parts of the body where, I guess I'll call it physiologically, maybe metaphysically, or maybe physiologically, different parts of the body control. This controls anger, and this controls the emotions of sadness and of happiness and joy and laziness. And thank you very much. Thank you. And a person has all of these kochos, and all of these kochos are to be used to serve Hashem. And now the 10th perek, the final perek, goes through a couple of examples of different emotions of a person. And again, the yesod of perek tes was you're in control. Hashem gave you this amazingly complex machine, amazingly complex physically, amazingly complex emotionally, amazingly complex intellectually, and you are the boss, and you decide l'tov or l'ra. Are you going to use it to draw close to Hashem, to emulate Hashem, to do good things, to be more spiritual person, or lehepech? And everything can be used in any way. So he's going to give examples, because there's some things that appear to us, you say, well, this, let's say his first example is happiness and mourning, happiness and sadness. Mourning. MOURNING. So Amar HaNefesh, so the Nefesh says, Kvar Avinosi Ma'amorcha, I understand what you're saying, Vikshafli L'chol Ma'ajah Zechach. Do you remember that the last five prokim, the last five prokim of Shaar Avodas Elokim was a conversation, a dusiach between the nefesh and the seichel, which the Chovas Halvavas introduced by saying that it's so important to get these principles clear that I'm going to present it like as if you wrote a play or in question-answer form, because that's how things get clarified. When questions are asked and you're debating and you're saying, yeah, but still I don't understand, and what about this and what about that? Which is a good hakdamah to Pesach, right? Anim Sanei says, I understand everything you've told me and you've taught me. Anim is chanenes el kvodecho. I'm pleading with you. Explain to me this last point. Asher eshtamish bahen, how I could use, because I'm in control, and I'm the boss, and I'm the manager, how can I control b'meshubach, the ostensible good midos, the happy midos, Uvimaguna, but some midos they don't, you know, they sound very evil and not good. How can I use that to serve Hashem? What do you mean I'm in charge? Because the Chabad has made the point of saying it's not a question of use this and get rid of that and throw that out with the garbage, but everything is there for a positive purpose. So he goes through a few examples. The Orcha Sadikim, if you've ever learned Orcha Sadikim, the whole Sefer is really built on that duality of taking every Midah, many Midos. Midos means character traits, and showing how each character trait can be used for the good and Chalila for the opposite, and its opposite could be used either way. So the Chalila Dovas basically does that in this last perek of Shara Vodus Alokim as a follow-up to what he said in the ninth perek. Asher b'hishtamshi b'hen shom yishabchuni aleihem v'yodu shimushi b'hem, and I will be, they will appreciate, my body will appreciate that I'm using them for good things. Not just my body, again, the Chazalovas and Periktes describe the physical parts of the body as being the seat. And really they are, the physiologically, they are the seat of our emotions. The Gemara ascribes different emotions to different physical Eivarim. Nowadays, medical science, you know, the brain is seen as the seat of almost everything, as opposed to Chazal talk about the heart and talk about specific Eivarim, like the liver and the gallbladder and this. It's not so clear, because when you're talking physiologically, it's not so clear where, you know, different, even the juices come from different, I don't know the words. You see, I'm not so well-versed in biology, like different kinds of juices, different kinds of forces flow in your body, enzymes. And, all different things are going on, and I just read, a woman wrote a letter that, you know, when you stop parts of your regular life for Pesach cleaning, but you shouldn't stop exercising. Okay, they have, I showed it to Sonnenberg. I said, that's, they should endorphins. Put it up on the wall. What?
That produces endorphins.
Yeah, you're right. That's what she wrote. That was the word. And it's aerobic, and cleaning for Pesach is not aerobic. And no, I said, it will give you strength. You shouldn't stop your daily exercise regimen. She was very serious. It's very important to keep that up, because you won't get that. Because it produces certain things in the body that are good for you. Amar HaSeichel, Midosecha Rabos, there are many, many character traits to talk about. Azkalahen Mehen, I'll just mention a few in this last perek, Mashin is Damali B'Tzara. For who? Okay, so number one, the rest of the perek is just a list of Midos. Midosecha Shtei Midosein, we'll talk about two character traits, HaSimcha V'Avil, happy and sad. V'Hein Zu K'Neged Zu, they're obviously two opposites. So how are you supposed to use each one? How does an Oved Elokim use each Mida? Bofani Hashim, now you might be surprised at what you hear. So it's not all. Bofani Hashim ish b'simcha. How do you use simcha? Keshe tiftechi. What should make you happy? What should make you happy? When should you use that? You control everything. You see, we're not used to this. I'm angry. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm this. I'm that. And we talk about ourselves sometimes as the victim of our emotions. We're the victim. We are passive. We are what we are. I am what I am. Listen, I'm lazy. What should I do? I'm lazy. Listen, I get angry. I have red hair. What should I do? There really is no such thing in Judaism. That's what he said in Periktes. I'm saying buried in Periktes is that we control everything. People have tendencies, and that might be their nisayon in life, is to overcome those tendencies. But there's no such thing. The Chavis Halbavus in Shari Yichud HaMaisa says, I'm learning that with the men now, that one of the seductions, call it, of the Yetzirah is, and we really learned it in Shari Avodas HaLokim also, a major philosophical issue of how much does Hashem, you read some psukim and Hashem is in control of everything, right? And you read other psukim, and it seems like man is in control of everything. It's like, how do you strike that balance? What is the truth, the theological truth, the philosophical truth? Anyway, in Shara Yichud HaMaisa talks about how the Yetzirah tries to get you to think more of a deterministic universe. Things are, you know, things are the way they are, and that's the way it's going to be, and that's how Hashem, you believe in Hashem, but Hashem's in control, and Hashem is doing what he wants. He wants the world to go with a certain pattern, and a certain, so why is that the Yetzirah? Because you end up saying that about yourself also, you see, about yourself. I am, and we all have a tendency to say that, right? I am what I am, this is how I am. It's like an excuse. Our kids say it, and sometimes we say it. This is the way I am, I can't change. I'm, you know, fill in the blank. I'm angry, I get angry, I'm lazy, I'm tired, I'm not a brave person. So if it's not tov and ra, it doesn't matter, right? What we're talking about now, though, when push comes to shove, and you have to have, and you have to exercise bechira. So that's what Perek Tes told us. You are the manager of the estate. You're the manager of the factory. There's no such thing. So don't say, I'm happy. He wants to know, when should you... It's like a... Maybe it's such a... It's a chiddush, the whole way of looking at it. When should I use the midah of happiness? I am the manager. I am going to unleash happiness. So when should I? What is worthy of making me happy? What is worthy of me being happy about? So you say, I don't know, if my child would get engaged, I'd be happy. Okay. So the Chavis Alova says, Vofani Hashimush Basimcha, how do you have the midah of, you have the midah of simcha in you, and you will choose when to, you should, you could just sit back and just be the passive victim or the passive product of whatever your emotions, wherever they take you. But that's not, no, that's not good. That's not good. Right? V'samachta b'chagecha. Go be happy on Yom Tov. Be joyful. How? So it says, buy yourself new clothing. Men should do this. Women should do this. Do this for your children. I'm telling you to be happy. If there's a mitzvah, special mitzvah on happiness on Yom Tov, and there's a general mitzvah of, right? I'll use the phrase mitzvah gedola lios b'simcha. It doesn't say it anywhere in Chazal. But certainly, simcha, a person should walk around being b'simcha. So that's, that is something we control. And that is something we, so you have to work. How do you work on it? You can start with Zelig Pliskin's book on happiness. Start with that, and he'll give you tricks on how to feel happy. It, don't just sit there and, today I'm happy, this made me happy, this didn't make me happy. All this, that's Perek Tes. I control. So now he's saying there's happiness and there's sadness. So when should I use the mead of happiness? Now, he says a big Kiddush. Really, true happiness is when you know, right? What's true happiness? And then there's always, there's minor forms of it. But what's true happiness? Kshetiftechi b'hano, when you're sure about a certain pleasure, that kayemes tamid, that it will be there, it will always be there, v'lo tesare batuga, and it won't be sorrowful, it won't lead to sorrow, v'lo yera loch pega, and it won't be harmful to you. Hatiri hamido hazos. Then you can unleash this mido. So now, when is that? So the obvious point is, the only thing that should really make you happy is doing Hashem's will. That's the only thing that's the only thing that should. happy, etc. Not the only thing that should make you happy. It's the only time when you should unleash and use your control, your power to be happy. Right? We're talking about Bechira. We're talking about Tov and Ra. Obviously, if my child were getting engaged tonight, I'd be happy. I'd be delirious, actually. She's not even dating. It's okay. I don't want anybody to think that there's like something secret going on. He's talking about Perek Tes. He's talking about you controlling these midos. So he's talking about using the midos when it's Bechira time, right? So he's saying the only time, don't make yourself happy over a team winning a ball game. Like, that's not something that should, okay, let's party. That's nothing. It's ephemeral, it's temporary, it's silly, it's not a, no lasting value. You know? That's not something that should, you are happy to do Ratzon Hashem. And that's when you invoke happiness. That's when you train yourself to be happy. You train yourself to be happy when you know you're doing something that's pleasing in the eyes of Hashem. That's permanent, that's of lasting value, that you could take to the bank. It's nitzchius, it's never. That's true pleasure. And so that's when you would hatiri hamido hazos. And the only thing that should the way where you would use, sorry, just in case it's an emergency, which happens sometimes. Hello? Yes, but it's a very bad time to call, so I'll ask you to call me back starting from 45 minutes from now. Thank you very much. Bye. V'lo yer hatiri amidos us avol mokam hashimish ba'avel. Sadness really means mourning. Ki yifkosh chadover mitzar is only something that is truly truly bad, truly painful. Kayim tamid vein b'cha yecholus l'tchoso, and you can't shake it. Below ponim lisporid mi menu, and again, that's violating Hashem's will. That's going against Hashem. So this is when you use it. Now, obviously, the corollary of this is that the only thing really worthy, fit, really, truly, objectively appropriate, my daughter becoming engaged really should only make me happy, because Hashem wants me to see to it that that happens. So it's making me happy that I've reached a milestone in, right, Hashem wants me to have children, and Hashem wants me to marry them off, etc. You know. So that's why it should make me happy. Really, I shouldn't be happy because, okay, you know, it really should not make me happy because of a, it sounds strange, because like of a personal pleasure, like, okay, like, we should, the true happiness, he's talking ideally, this is a book of extremes, we know that already, but and not extremes, crazy extremes for crazy people, maybe extreme is not the right word, of laboratory conditions. Right, we don't live in a world of laboratory conditions, so we struggle and we try to better ourselves and we try to reach that madrega. So what he's saying here is that the only thing really worthy of making me happy, the only thing that should make me happy, and then if that happens I should work on being happy, is the way he described it, which is obviously only doing Hashem's will. And its opposite would only be, let's see, so you say, well, wait a second. Someone has a tragedy. Some Islam people experience tragedies. So how are they supposed to feel about it? Well, Hashem tells us how to feel about it. So, if Hashem tells us to mourn, let's say someone that passed away. So Hashem tells us to mourn. But then, you know, you delve into it a bit, and you say, what am I really sad about? Am I sad about my personal loss? So that's not really something that should make us sad. We should maybe be sad. What really should make us sad, and this is why Kaddish is which doesn't mention death at all, is our response to death is to say Kaddish, because it's what we're really sad about is that Hashem's some Oved Hashem, there's a gap, there's a hole, there's a void in Hashem's world, and that's a miut, some diminution in Hashem's kavod. There's one less Oved Hashem in the world. There's one, and that's what makes me sad. That, again, under Labrador conditions, that's what should make me sad. And that's why the response to that is a tefillah, Yiskadel v'yiskadesh shmei rabah, where we're being mispalel, that gap should be filled somehow. That Hashem's kavod should flourish and grow. And somehow, yeshmei rabah mevarach, that's what it means. And what we're really doing is saying, okay, I mean, that's like funny. Kaddish is like, well, Kaddish, that's it. Someone died. Someone's saying Kaddish. Yeah, but the Kaddish doesn't mention death. That's right. It just talks about Hashem's kavod, because Hashem's kavod has been diminished. Kvayachal, of course. So that's really what should pain us. It's hard for us to deal with this idea, but this is what we learned in the whole Shar. The focus of a Jew's life, of a believing Jew's life, but it's not true. Purpose of every Jew's life. Purpose of every being's life, but, you know, we can't expect anything of the non-Jews till Mashiach comes. Right now, someone would say, what's the focal point of my life? Right? Let's forget about that I'm a big tzaddik and I do everything right, okay? I'm like an average guy. So say, what's the focal point of my life? Most people say my family, right? I want my family to flourish, and I want my children to... I want to have nachas for my children, and I want to see my children married and successful and have families of their own. I think maybe some people think bigger. They say, I want to lead... a kehila, they have a bigger scope, and that's the focus of my life. But really, it's all wrong. It's not really the point. And that's why it leads to such frustration and resentment and anger if we have, let's say, children that are not our picture book, right? So the focus is Hashem, and if you did your best, and this is what Hashem handed you, and the focus is what gives honor to Hashem. What does Hashem want out of this? What does Hashem want me to do? Hashem wants me to respond to this situation, and the focal point is really Hashem. It's very hard. It really is hard, because it really takes what the Tanya calls very bittle. It takes a person has to, but this is the highest goal you could reach, is bittle, is, what's the word, self?
Negation.
Yeah, that's the word. What's the word?
Self-negation.
There's some word, you model yourself, and your focal point of life is Hashem, and very hard. It's hard. It's not. It's more than hard. It's
the nachas you want from your children is that they are following that isn't that in the right path?
The nachas we really should want, ideally, is we should just want to know. We want Hashem to have nachas from us. That's really the only nachas we should think about. And if, let's say, I have a child that's not going the way that I would have liked, but I did everything I could, and I didn't do anything wrong, or I can't think that I did anything wrong. But people are different, and all the different kinds of people in the world. And I did my best, and, you know, or I think I did my best, because we always just think so, you know. So you rack your brains. And this is what Hashem handed me, and my job is to please Hashem. To take what He gave me, and, you know, use the tools that He gave me, and do my best with it to please Him. So I have to think what He would want. What would give Him nachas? We give Hashem nachas. Children are not for our nachas. Children are just—it's just another responsibility Hashem gave us, and we have to please Hashem. Now, let's say, what do you do if you have a child that we think is not pleasing to Hashem? So, you know, we don't know if again. I don't know, you know, every case is different. But, you know, the Chaim Salvovus in Shari Yichud HaMaisa gives a very lengthy, you would think it's a 21st century PhD in psychology talking. Chaim Salvovus in Shari Yichud HaMaisa, I just learned it with the men, has a very long piece. It's amazing. It's very, very 21st century. Very. This was written 1,000 years ago. He says, you don't know who Hashem is pleased with and who's not. You have no idea. People only see what's on the surface. So we see someone from, maybe hat and jacket, doing everything that's right. We say, wow, this guy's great. And then we see kids in the street, in the park, hanging out, doing things, and we say, oh, that's terrible. Says, you don't know. And that's not to say that there's no difference and we shouldn't care, because you know, you're not allowed to do something else, or that's certainly a red line, and certainly, you know, we have to guide our children, right, with chinuch, and we have to try our best that they shouldn't be hanging out in the park, because as far as we know, it's detrimental to them, and we have to work with the tools that we know. But he says, when you're looking at someone, like la'achar ma'isa, and you're looking at someone, he says, don't ever feel superior to anybody. You have no right to feel superior, he says. You could feel that you're doing right things, and the other person, it's very, very subtle. Maybe it's not so subtle. It's right to, you know, you're doing right. You have to eat kosher, you know. You can't eat not kosher, that's right. But don't think you're superior to the person that's not eating kosher, he says. Don't think you're superior. You don't know. Maybe that person, and he goes through a whole speech about, you don't know how that person, the struggles that person has, and the nisyonos he has, and you don't know what he's going through, and you don't know, and maybe he one day refrained from eating something treif because he felt he shouldn't, and that's worth more in the eyes of Hashem than your whole life of eating kosher, because you did it because you went to a supermarket and you were ashamed to put into your basket something that doesn't have a good hechsher, and that's why you do it. So you came home, and that's what's in your cupboard, and that's what's in your pantry, and that's what you eat, and that's all, and you never thought twice about it. And he made a decision one day, you know, not to do it, like, whoa, that's worth so much more than, and he goes on this thing that Hashem judges by pneumius. But his point is, don't be judgmental. That's really his main point. Don't be judgmental. So we don't know, you know, we don't know what gives Hashem nachas. I'm sorry. We don't know what gives Hashem nachas and what doesn't. We really don't. So of course, you know, we're given rules in the Torah. So we know we have to follow the rules. He's not coming to say that you shouldn't follow the rules because you don't know what gives Hashem nachas. We do know what ostensibly gives Hashem nachas, because He gave us the rules in the Torah. I mean, said, do this. But like, if things don't work out according to your game plan, so you don't know. You don't know what's going on. There's so much dynamic and so much. He says, you know, that person could be struggling with things, and you don't know, you're not struggling with them, and that person is looked down on by everyone and berated. So he's getting his own ish of all his averus in this world, and he's going to get all of the schar of his mitzvahs in the next world, because everybody looks down on him. So that's his punishment in this world. And you're kavod, wow, what a big rabbi in this. So you get your schar in this world, and your averus that nobody knows about because you keep them well hidden. So then you're going to get all your punishment in the next world, because everybody looks up to you and sees you're a respectable person. So you're not suffering in this world. So you're going to get... He says, don't be haughty. Don't be uppity. Don't think you're superior. Never think you're superior to anybody. And when you give musar to someone, never think you're superior to them. Just that you're teaching them. So maybe they don't know. So you're teaching them. You're teaching them, listen, this is what it says you're allowed to do, this is what you're not allowed to do. It's only a teaching process. It's not, come on, man, don't you want to be like me? You don't want to be like the piece of, you'll excuse my talking like this. This is what Chavis Alboda says, is never ever think this way, he says. You don't want to be the piece of garbage you are. You want to be like me, a chash of a person. He says, you don't have no idea you could be the piece of garbage. And he could be the chash of a person. So never think that way. Never talk that way. Never think that way. You don't know. You don't know what's going on in the eyes of Hashem. You could teach him. You could say, you know, let me teach you. Let me teach you. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't understand how important it is. Maybe you don't realize how important it is. Maybe you don't, you know, so let me tell you. Let me teach you. Let me show you. That's saying the focal point of our lives is Hashem, and Hashem is so not, it's just not the way we think. We really are affected by things that are very personal, and we're hurt because we have neighbors and people are looking at us, and what will the neighbors say, and what will the neighbors think? I don't want to use personal examples because it's not a tape running for sure. You know, you try. It's a struggle. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's what does Hashem want from us? And that's it really, if you change the question, you change your whole life. What does Hashem want me to do in this situation? That's all. This is the situation. What does Hashem want me to do? That's the only question that really. So sometimes you don't know. It's not easy, because sometimes you don't know what Hashem wants you to do, and sometimes, you know, no one knows. You know, you come to ask what Hashem wants. You know, sometimes you get an answer, and sometimes you don't. But the whole angst and resentment, you know, okay, maybe we're used to the idea that someone has a sick child, you know. Physically sick. So I think we're all familiar with the ups and downs of denial and anger and resentment. But then you come to terms with it and you say, right, Hashem gave me this child. And, you know, and you make a decision how to deal with it. Maybe a child has to be institutionalized sometimes. Maybe that's, I'm not saying that's always an invalid, I think that's the wrong thing. That's not always an invalid decision. You know, sometimes that's the Nisayon. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes the family would can't handle it. I'm saying there's no easy answers. But the question is, what does Hashem want me to do? So that we're sort of used to. But we're not used to other areas in life. There's also, we have, look what he says. Simcha is only what gives, when Hashem's will, I did what Hashem wanted me to do. That's geschmack. That's the only thing that's simple. The only thing lasting, the only thing that's not tinged. Everything else is tinged with some sadness, Maybe it's making someone else jealous. Maybe it's making someone else feel bad. It's only temporary. You don't know what it could bring, right? Most people that won the lottery had their lives ruined by it. Ruined. Most people, statistically. So, you know, so the only simcha is that. And the only sadness, really, should be... Nothing should cause us to truly be sad, except if we're... Boy, busy night. Except if we're violating Hashem's will, and we're making Hashem sad. So that's what he says. So that's when you should use the Midah. We're obviously not going to finish this parak today. That's when you should use the Midah. And really the corollary of what he's saying is that's the only thing that should really make me happy, and that's the only thing that should make me sad. Because that's true. That's true. Complete shalem happiness is that Hashem is pleased, that the ruts on Hashem is being fulfilled. Because that's really my purpose in living. It's very hard, but this is what we're learning. This is Sharon Vodas Elokim. Let's learn one more quick example. Uvechal midos secha shtei midos. Another two character traits is. Interesting opposites. You wouldn't think they're opposites, but then you think again and you say, you know, taka, they are. Mora is trepidation, and tikva is that you are looking forward to the future. They are different attitudes, character traits, is, I don't know, maybe it's not always the right word, it's attitudes. Umokam hamora. When should you fear the future? So again, never. You have nothing to be afraid of. You have bitachon Hashem. The only time you have to fear, shetiyah beinyan shemevi ala inyan sheyitzarech v'lotiyah lachachriso tova, and there's no good in it. Ve'im boch koach v'yecholus l'tcholso me'alayich, and there's nothing you can do to avoid it. So again, the only thing that's that is when you're violating Hashem's will, then you have to be afraid. Otherwise, you pull out the bitachon, and what are you afraid of? Hashem's watching over you. Hashem's going to take care of you. Okay, well, let's stop here. It seems to be a consensus that we should not learn next week. Right? That seems to be a consensus. And the next week, we're going to be Bodei Chametz. We're certainly not going to learn. And the next week is going to be Chol HaMoed. We're going to be answering the kids' cries. What are we doing tomorrow? Right? And the next week, we're not going to learn for a long time, because the next week, we'll see. We'll be in touch. In other words, the question is, Pesach ends on a Monday. Should we already learn the following Sunday night? Right. I don't know. Still putting away the dishes? I don't know. We have Shabbos in between. Okay,
so
I guess
the
not.
Sunday but after Pesach.
The Sunday after Pesach. Yeah. And I think we should already start planning. I'll give a shiur, Bli Neder, Mitzvah Hashem, summarizing Shaar Avodas Elokim. That was a very lovely siyum we made in Shaar Bitachon. I'd like to do that again. And this was a more difficult shaar. Then we're going to do Shaar HaBechina. It's going to be very, very educational and very, very geschmack, very uplifting. It's going to change you the way you look at the world. When you walk outside and you look at a flower, you have a different life now.
What about the Wednesday shooting? Are you stopping
there? The plan is this Wednesday, yes. So I guess then they'll say, no more.